That's Tom Neary, tape four. Tom, on the last tape we were talking about your mum being taken ill, I think.
July 1942, so civil office in Malton. So he came over and I think he knew he was coming, he went so bloody away. So I went to the signal officer, no problem, he gave me compassionate leave. So when I got home, she was moved into the hospital. So I went every day to see her, and she wasn't right good, and I could see how it was. So I got her younger sister, and I was in the ambulance, and I brought her home. And a bit of a kerfuffle went on, but anyway, I got her home, and I seen the doctor. And while I was there, I should have gone back on the at the weekend, I think it was a Monday, but she was so serious at the crisis, I couldn't believe her. I thought, so what I did, I went down to Panning Police Station and told them the situation. I tried to get through to battalion in Malton, and for some unrelated reason, being the weekend, I couldn't get through, I don't know why I couldn't. So I went down to the police station and told them that was okay, so I didn't go back. But after a day, the crisis was over, and I could see some improvement, so I had to go back, and so I went back. Now, when I got back, the friend said, you'd put on a charge for being absent.
Before you go on to your charge, what was wrong with your mum, Tom?
She had thrombosis.
Yeah. Had she suffered with that before, or was this...?
No, that was the first time.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Plus another 10 years after.
Hmm.
So, I got back, and the only problem was this. Tom or Thompson. John Baines had talked to him, come back, just leave it. And I said, no, I won't leave it. So, of course, I put on the charge. So, the following morning, I was called to company officer quarters, and the company commander was Major Baines, fine officer and gentleman. He was killed in the old day by any hour. He told him, he said, all right. He said, I'll confirm it with Padding Police. So I was back on the signal office, of course, doing an extra spin. So the morning following, I was still on the signal office when Miss Cole came through, Padding Police, please. So I got Padding Police and put them on, moved to the major, and got the supervisor called.
Which is all about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a private nearly, as he been to see you about not being able to get back to the battalion. Wait a minute, this is Major Rainey, East Lancashire Regiment. Wait a minute, sir. Oh yes, Private Neary called in here and informed us of it. Right, sir, thank you. So, that was okay. So the morning following from the office. Oh, I went in. Right, Neary, he said. If anybody has as much sense as you have, common sense, is to save me a lot of heartache and them a lot of trouble. Very good.
Yeah.
So thanks very much to Thompson for his
Yeah.
So from there well was there I mentioned him about the river.
Yeah.
Before previously.
The accidents.
That's right. And while I was there again, they approached me to play with the dance band. Now I had brought a smaller guitar because I used to play the Spanish guitar. The steel guitar, which is Hawaiian, and I also play the alto sax.
Hmm.
So, he said, would you play? He told me I was doing this duet in the similar the lips along with the top of the collar. So, he said, so come for an audition. So, I went along, they thought the band was so much improved, they offered me the job.
Hmm.
So, from then, I would continuously with the dance band.
Yeah.
So, we went to be here, so it came up to Christmas. So there's a big dance coming off for all the officers in the brigade in the Masonic Hall in Malton. So they said we had to call the band in, and the two or three were due for leave. For New Year it was. He said, well, there's all this year practice to get in with the. musicians from the other battalions in the brigade. So all right, is this why Oxen Bucks and these Lancashires? It's only about 35-40 per band. So they said, would you prepare to take a leave day in this territory if you will do this fortnight's rehearsal with the band together, get used to playing together? So I said, yes, go for it. So I was up at Willington and we did this practice every day, and then we played for the special dance for all these officers and all the gentlemen and rest were there. Outstanding success when I came back from when that was tinsel and Don Reeve.
That was, what was that, like a regimental band or a battalion band? Or
battalion dance band.
Battalion dance band.
And the same from the Oxen Bucks.
Yeah.
And from the HLI.
Yeah.
So together it formed quite a big, about 30-piece band or something like that.
Right.
So, from that, and then we played, of course, for the other ranks on another day, and then the regiment after we used to be playing down in Pickering, which is from Moulton, and all over the place. So I was there then until, oh, and while I was there, we started changing the wire, the radios. As we was in an armoured division, mechanised infantry, first of all they gave us 11 set, which was in the tanks out in Africa, and it was intercom plus long distance, vibrator unit, but we didn't have that above once and they scrapped it, and they brought the 19 set in, which was a power pack, three sets in one, so the intercom, B set, which would go 300,000 yards, and the A set, with the coin to the aerial, you could go 8, 12 miles, 20 miles, and then to the aerial, you could go 500, if you weren't screened. So we trained on that, so that is when they sent us out on driver operators course, where we were texting money if we passed, which we passed. So I came a signal driver operator, and you'd also to be able to read words at 18 words, at 18 words a minute.
You could do over 25, did you say?
Yeah, when we got legal, yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, we wanted my top signals and we got to pay and all the rest of it. So that when it was there, at the end of March, I think it was March, we left Moulton on the scheme that lasted a month. Yeah. Remember the name of the scheme. And we finished all through the counties till eventually we finished at a place called Mere in Wiltshire.
Yeah.
It would be about 10 miles, something like that, from Warminster.
What date are we up to here? March, April, you said, of?
Yeah, so we got into Mere in April.
Of what year, Tom?
That was the 43.
43.
Yeah. So I was in Mere then, from that date, Mere camp up to end of September it would be, around about that day, give or take, 43. So over there we had the dance bands, of course, playing the Victoria, always the part of the part of dance hall, and another small one used to play there twice a week. Plus army, land army and all the rest of the dances come up. So then when I was there, I went on another course to a place called Sutton Veney outside of Warminster. I passed that one, as it happened, I looked at it, came up with top mark, so I had more pay with that. Then we had these dances coming up, so do I talk now about personally hotspots?
Yes, I think so, Tom. You're talking about the darts band in generally, aren't you?
So these Hampshire dance band consisted of some country musicians in it. The Eagle band was also a regimental tailor, and he was called Al Brown, a great friend of mine. We had the violin, the first alto sax, doubling on violin, came from C Company. The trumpeter came from C Company. The tenor sax was played by Gus Graven, who came out of the MI room. The drums was played by Orgis from the Signals, and me on the guitar. And then the other one for, we call Cracky White, for the trombone. Anyhow, they rang Sutton Veney on this course to say we had to go to a dance somewhere in Somerset. Now, the man who used to do all this arrangement was called Sammy Bartley, Northern Ireland chap, and a good friend. And he was also in charge of the water cart.
Yeah.
Now, we're all old friends, knew one another, and of course, Gustav hadn't worked in the MI rooms. In other words, the noise halls had been in for years, so they came to Sutton Veny and they picked me up. Now, Sammy, naturally being on the water guard, was known as the sanitation corporal, because he covered other things besides.
Yeah.
So off we go, and we landed at this village, and we got out a very good church hall there. When we went in, there'd be about 500 of them. So, we were very north muscle. We got the stands onto the stage, we tuned up already, East Lancashire, but it was early to start. So we went outside for a bit of fresh air, didn't drink, because we had a job to do, and it was on till 1 in the morning. So all ground, but it's time to get back in, man, we've got to go back in. So we get back in, get his instruments ready to start playing. So up comes Parson. Good evening, boy. Good evening, sir. And I was the left-hand player on the stage, so he approached it from the other side from the right. And, good evening, sir. You were early, boy, aren't you? I said, no, sir. Like, it was half 7 or 8 when we started.
Hmm.
Oh, you're a big band, aren't you? I said, no. Are you Percy and his hotspots?
Yeah.
Bruce Graben from the MI room said, no, some of his shit pots.
You've gone to the wrong hall,
right.
Or the wrong town or something.
Yeah.
Please.
So I picked my instrument in the case and I picked this stand up and I disappeared back quick.
because your band was called the Regimental Band or something or other. But he was expecting Percy and his hotspots.
You're a big band, aren't you, boys? Are you Percy and his hotspots? No, some of these shit pots. Some never lived it down.
So what did you do? Just pack up and go?
We found the right place. And we went until 1 in the morning.
Yeah, right. So you got there in time to the right place.
Oh, yeah, in time, but only just like, you know.
Yeah.
You pull yourself, you know.
Yeah.
So we got back again at about 2 in the morning. Now, we was there until September. And we're on the move. And we didn't, or we went to a town called Burford, or a village, and it was one of the most beautiful in England, in Oxfordshire. And we were stationed in a priory that belonged to this commander of the Navy. So I decided while we was there that for the rest of the signal platoon, they would have a 3-week intensive refresher course. So the signal officer who was Captain Frank Johnson said, right, Neary, you, Collins and Allerton, we've done the signal office for 3 weeks. So it's not turning, you know.
Yeah.
They did the 3-week course. So I was on for 3 weeks. Now, while I was there, we were called upon to play at Bryce Norton.
Yes.
For, I think it was a fighter squadron, day of the time. So we were called there.
An RAF squadron. Yeah.
So we did so well, and they want us to be. That's them, you know, but the Colonel Burden would allow it. So, of course, it's such a good name, they're so pleased with us that we got rid of the engagement playing there. So, I was in, on this day, I was in the signal office, and this call came through like they do, and I do the call, the other fellow in the room, and he said, speak to Colonel Burden, please. I want to speak to Colonel Burden. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Colonel Burden's engaged. Right, off he goes. 10 minutes after, I speak to Colonel Burden. I'm very sorry, sir, the line's engaged. So I got this snotty remark. Came on, I'm very sorry, sir, it's still engaged. That's all I got to feel the flame near for. I don't see why it should be. I don't be like that. I don't be like this. And he really yelled. So I said to him, what do you want me to do, sir? Do you want me to interrupt the conversation? He shut up, and the phone went down. He was neither the manager or anything else. Anyhow, so I thought there'd be some repercussions from it, but it wasn't.
No, but presumably, Tom, he had no answer to that, did he? Because
no, I couldn't
you couldn't interrupt.
If he told me to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, while we were there, we used to advise Norton, we would go, the bus would be there, we'd be meal laid on first, we'd go, during up, being, it looked a place, we'd be there, and then the officers would come in, the air crews would start coming in, maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock, we'd be playing between.
Yeah.
And then they would come to, what are you going to have? I mean, we have this. And if you wanted, they could have 10 or 12 whiskey apiece, but we didn't drink, we kept simply.
Yeah.
So then when we finished, we were able to have done this finished.
You mean that you did drink, but you didn't drink while you were working?
No.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
That was the orders that we did from that brand, yeah. So then, they would pass, they put us at parcel, what we do, come back, and of course, like, we get something to eat as well.
Yeah.
So it was there then, until it would be end of October, so they said
43.
Then they said there's a draft to go to the new area at Milstead. I was on the advance party, so I was on the advance party preparing the billets for the student following. So we set it up, we landed into Milstead, about 3 miles from Sittingbourne in Kent. So when they came in, so I was in there before the beginning of November, approximately.
Yeah.
So while we were there, a big bunch up went on again. Oh, what I should have said, they broke up the 42nd Armoured Div, but we'd done lots of moves on the South Downs and the rest. And we was then in an independent brigade.
Infantry brigade.
Which consisted of the 1st East Lancashires, First Oxford and Buckinghamshire Light Infantry and the First Highland Light Infantry.
So the armour that was with you with the 42nd Armoured Div went somewhere else.
Yeah. And we were independent.
Yeah.
So this happened then that we got transferred to this Wolfsburg to Milstead and Sittingbourne to join the 53rd Welsh Division. We didn't know at the time, we didn't. So when we got there and then we got in, we were known by the 53rd Welsh, which consisted of two brigades, and we made one up, and the 3rd brigade wasn't a full brigade anyhow, but was known as the foreign region by the rest of them, or the independence. So, eventually, as a mean signal officer, we went all around, and we started punching up on waterproofing, and climbing up onto the platforms and coming down the rigging, people coming down the ship side to an ordinary floor. So I was there then, so it was very secret for the crew for D Day.
What about this waterproofing, Tom? You mean waterproofing radios?
Waterproofing the vehicles, waterproofing the radios, and all this had to run through better through, and then they would drive the vehicles through like a reservoir center. To see that they were waterproof.
But how did you waterproof your own, yourself and your own equipment?
Well, what they did with it, they sealed it up. First of all, if I remember right, it was done by a sort of plastic, I don't know what them days, they put round, and it was tied very into a bag, airtight, tied, you know, and tied again, so that no water could get into it. And that was still, you got off the big shed, which then, of course, it just put it off.
So in simple terms, in a plastic bag, tied at the top or something, sealed.
It couldn't leak in, it was sealed. But of course with the vehicles, the only distance was no one had to waterproof it. But it could only run a short distance because the condensation would stop the engine anyhow.
Okay.
So that was all done, so the MT that was there, John, though I was a driver operator, but I never do it. So our job, of course, the lay lines, maintain the telephone, maintain the wireless sets, the company is what we call the 38 set that went from company headquarters to platoons, short distance. So we had to maintain them goes along. So when it came, after all this, then we had to also go into Brighton and that, doing our strategy, to do all this preparation for them.
Practice, training.
On manoeuvres, So they come to me and said, right, we're going away for a fortnight or 10 days it was. You and Elliot stay back addressed to me in his communication at Millstead, so we didn't go on the scheme. So while we was there, we found the mushrooms, the land mushrooms, and got the good duck and all the rest of it. And only one option knocking about, so we had nothing to do.
Yeah.
But we were stuck there, and then it was going to go out. So one night, in this cottage, what was in, and we all cottage, you could hear the rats squeaking and running about, and then they'd whisper to people out of the board, and you know.
Yeah.
So this night, I was led on by Frank Elliott to get in the exchange. He said, Tommy, he said, just look again, the fire, I don't know, fire, I want to keep it warm. And there is this rat sat in front of her like a cat. And it's the biggest rat I've ever seen. I'm not a dead rat. It was like a big breakfast cat, a new big one.
Yeah.
And he's looking at me, the nice sparkling. And I'm inverted, I'm just going down and he's gone.
Yeah.
So later on,
yeah, do what your boots.
Yeah.
You're gonna throw it at him. Yeah, yeah.
So you could get, you know, like that. So then I got in the bed later on the night and resting, and I felt something in my head. And I moved it right down the side of the half of the horizontal
This one will come back to get you. Probably thinking, if you're going to throw that boot at me, I'm going to.
So, we used to go and get to the mail and up at the cube house with the staff that was remaining. So, they came back after that. And on that particular time, or maybe a bit out of some of the movers, the adjutant got killed.
Yeah.
And he was called Mitchell.
Yeah.
And he was coming back from the mover. He must have heard the engine, he come round this bend, and this nurse went out in this village, and he found him in the road with a bike, he had no helmet on, and he was killed instantly.
Yeah, just so slid off the bike, maybe.
So, a nice colour. So that built up the next duty's place, was called E.C. Griffin. So then, we were preparing for the day, and all everything was ready for him. And then it came to the time, and we just got together one night, and they said, the following go to companies, it was, you know, the radio set and you done five and all that you had. Harvey's New D Company, Elliwell and Green D Company, Collins and Alston Charlie Company, Lamb and Charity D Company, Hodges and that go to support companies to the mortars. So it's where you go to the carriers, so it's a support company, the rest of course, at the time they quarters of communication alliance. So off we went to B Company. And B Company and A Company was together. So I don't know if it was the day after or not, but we moved from there, marching down to Sittingbourne Station, where we entrained, and it took us to Overseas, where we went into a camp there, where we were shut in.
Sealed camp, is that?
So we had with this Canadian, we had at that time with this Canadian matches, what they call Camborne. And the only one of them came back, all the rest of them was killed. So while we were there, they entertained them as well, and learned how to play baseball and that. They played the game. Anyhow, it rained and it blew, it was bad weather, and we were going to go. And this would be approximately D plus, not too far out. D plus 10, I think it's 9.
Yeah.
But because the weather was so bad, it was postponed for a week.
Yeah.
And then it was postponed again.
Yeah.
So eventually we got on and we took it on the train, we went down and we came to a port, we got to me at least, I've said it many times, where we boarded the ship, which was the Lady Longford.
Before that though, Tom, before you board that ship, D-Day had happened.
Yeah, it
June 6th, two or 3 weeks prior to that.
That would be, as I said, it would have been about 9 to 10, but my brother put it off, and it when we would set off then, eventually, it would be D-24.
Yeah.
And follow up. We thought we'd be able to have another one, we'd follow up. So.
But what did you think? Well, I'm just trying to get back to D-Day and what you guys thought, because you must have known it was coming. And then all of a sudden, June 6th it happens.
That's right.
The news comes out. I mean, what did you think at that stage?
Still waiting to go. We thought we'd be in the first, you know.
Yeah.
Apprehension, of course.
Yeah.
You know, a job had to be done.
But wasn't there a time when, you say, you should have been, thought you might have been in the first?
Yeah.
But was there a time when you thought you would have gone nearer June the 6th?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
You see, probably if we were staying in the army that they broke up, I don't know what the reason was. But for some reason, an independent brigade, it pushed us into the 53rd Division.
Yeah.
And that, it was a territorial unit, but there were three first battalions, Federalist battalions, that was in the division.
Mm.
Now, for some reason, best known to their authorities, I suppose it could have been said, we were then as a follow-up unit, but we always expected to be his first battalions to be in the initial attack.
Yeah.
But, as I said, it would have been about the 9th, but through the bad weather, and it put off twice.
Mm.
It was the 24th or so when we embarked at New Haven on the ship I mentioned.
Longford.
Lady Longford. To set off. So when we got out to sea, they come out of the cabin, they came and they said, you're on duty on the deck, on the bridge, you and Halliwell, for a couple of hours. So the other fellow came from another company, he joined me, and we had the hundred being on the bridge, with the oldest man reading the messages.
Yeah. But there was another. There were other boats as well used then, weren't there, for the transportation?
There were some, of course, went for the transport. They went from the docks in London.
And one of them was the Ben McCree, wasn't it?
That's right.
Which is the same boat that.
That's right. Well, the other fellows went on the Ben McCree.
Yeah.
But our biggest part of the company, ABC&D company, went on
Longford.
So off we go, and then when it came, we got off the beaches of Normandy, where we landed off the beach of Juneau. We had to go down the rigging, and the boats were underneath, and they kept coming in, we had to wait to come in, and they dropped into them, with all your kit on. Then you went and sat inside quick, and there were seasick bags there for you if you wanted whatever.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't see anything, they smelled the D's, and they got them down.
Yeah.
And anyhow, we landed on Juneau Beach, at a place called the Cross Islands.
Yes.
It was. So we went off in ordinary fashion, no bother, no trouble. Just dumped your mere west at one side and your fair blanket at the other and just marched in ordinary fashion away from the beach. That's it, was for us.
But what about the trip over? Did you see any, the Navy, the Royal Navy in the Channel? And were they still firing inland?
No,
they weren't.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember any, so it wasn't quite.
Yeah.
So it was early morning, so off we get, landed on the beach, we formed up, didn't take long, and we marched away to the formed up area, where the brigade, we got messages then, we can go elsewhere. So it must have been somewhere.
I think so.
And the brigade empty off the goes to transport felt us far away. We never seen that, so you get hurt in there. An accident with a vehicle. So we're not from Benissimer. Now I know we're in another place, but we wasn't an active service, so that was the 25th of June.
Mm.
We went from place to nothing happened till the 2nd of July. I know why.
Mm.
And we moved up then, we didn't do all the work, marched along, till we were going to a place called Grainville or Tune. Away company which I was just on the Greenville side, one of the two of the top of it was that.
Mm.
And we were in the field dugging, and that's when, apart from about 200 men who was at France in 1940, were the first taste of fire for the Lancashires.
Yeah, so you had, of the 800 or so men in the battalion, a quarter of those had been over there before.
That's right.
Yeah.
And all the rest were green to them.
Yeah.
So that particular night we took over from the Scottish regiment, I can't see which one it was. We were out like a swarth on the left flank on the zone. Eventually they began to pull it back after the front of the 2-5-4. But they opened up with the spandrels and with the soldier and his tents and like they were attacking us, but we were ordered by the colonel, on no account fire unless you see them. where we came. Once the shot came from his own eye, and he came up, and he was our artillery opened up onto them by our instructions, and he just fizzled out.
Why were you ordered not to fire, Tom?
Well, the colonel understood the thought to start with that the Germans were trying to find out exactly where we were.
Oh, I see.
But if we kept quiet, he could not find out.
Yes.
Very well, no. But if they came too close and we could see them, then we fired.
Yes.
But until we see them, we had not, though it was night, they had not to fire. Which we didn't. So it increased and the tracing stuff flying all over the place, and then it just went away. Our guns opened up, and I suppose that quite it. Because when dawn came, the dead German dead all over in the fields. So they moved us from there, and they put another brigade into where we'd been as a company. And they moved us further over through Tune, and we moved from there through after Tune, up through the fields and across this road we call Tetris Crossroad. And eventually, if I can remember next, we landed at this here place, and it was cold. With long this edge deep in the hill there, and there was this farm, big building, kept smoking at day. More suspicious, so they get these put the mortar bombs down on it. We were getting mortared, morning, minute.